From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty with the news on this day in Maine, Tuesday, December 31st, 2019.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Douglas Ridge, a new eco-conservation subdivision in Brunswick, dedicated to nature-centric sustainable home design. More at douglasridge.com.
As Senate leaders negotiate over how the impeachment trial of President Donald Trump will play out, Maine Republican Senator Susan Collins says senators from both parties are not taking their roles as impartial jurors seriously enough.
I have heard Democrats like Elizabeth Warren saying that the president should be impeached, found guilty, and removed from office. I've heard the Senate majority leaders saying that he's taking his cues from the White House.
And Collins says both are inappropriate. Senator Mitch McConnell will exercise substantial power in determining the terms of the trial, making his plans to work with the Maine House potentially much more significant than statements by senators, including Warren. A majority of the Senate must vote to approve the rules for the impeachment trial. Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski has also expressed concern over McConnell's statements. And staff at Maine's Land Use Planning Commission are recommending approval of Central Maine Power's controversial proposal to build a new power line through Maine's western woods. Fred Bever has more.
CMP is seeking state and federal approvals for the project, which would provide a high-voltage circuit for electricity from Hydro-Québec's dam system to serve a contract with Massachusetts utilities. This week, staff at Maine's Land Use Planning Commission recommended approval. The staff's draft permit finds that CMP's preferred route would have a lesser impact on natural and scenic resources, including the Appalachian Trail, than would alternative routes the company considered. Tom Saviello, a former lawmaker who is leading an effort to give state voters final say in a public referendum, says the LUPC staff are doing the best they can to protect state resources, given the statutory tools they have. And he says it's likely that the full LUPC Board of Commissioners will accept the staff recommendation.
They're a bureaucratic board that is not elected by the people. They're appointed. It's time for this to go to the people for a vote. That's really what it comes down to.
The LUPC board could vote on the issue next week, while permit decisions by the Department of Environmental Protection and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, the drawn-out permit reviews have put CMP behind the schedule it committed to when signing contracts with Massachusetts utilities, but CMP says it has been granted a year-long extension. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
And weather tonight, snow continues until around midnight in the north, otherwise snow ending, overnight lows in the 20s. Recent storms leave no doubt that winter has arrived in Bangor. The city saw how challenging last winter was for residents experiencing homelessness, part of a general increase in unsheltered residents that regional groups say has reached unprecedented levels in Bangor. This year, the city has moved to alleviate the situation and has created a new position, a dedicated homeless outreach caseworker. Robbie Feinberg reports on how that work's going and what challenges remain.
Tori Lynn Yeager opens her car door outside a shelter and drives 59-year-old Robert Otten to her office a few minutes away. Yeager often crisscrosses the city over the course of the week, visiting shelters and encampments and offering assistance.
Anything new going on?
No, not really.
Yeager's job as the city's homeless outreach caseworker was created earlier this year as part of an effort to support the growing number of unsheltered city residents, which officials say is partly driven by a shortage of affordable housing, as well as more people from across the state seeking out Bangor as a service center. A count from this summer found nearly 130 homeless residents in Greater Bangor who weren't staying in a shelter. More than 40% weren't from the city. Added up, the issues have stretched some social services. Bangor Police Sergeant Wade Betters says last winter, with shelters routinely filled, the police station lobby turned into a de facto shelter for up to 20 people on some nights.
You know, last winter was really tough, obviously, on the folks that are living outside, but the police station is not the answer for a nighttime warming shelter.
So city staff and councillors met earlier this year. They didn't want the police station to be used as a warming center again and took several steps to try to alleviate the problem. This summer, the city hired Yeager. She visits encampments to talk with residents, connect them to services, and help them navigate a complicated housing system.
Talk about what's going on, and then we plug resources around those folks. And then from there, we assist them with filling out housing applications, voucher applications, whatever they might qualify for.
All right. So there's another one.
Inside Yeager's office, she flips through paperwork as she assists 59-year-old Robert Otten. The two met this summer. Otten says he moved to the city about a decade ago from Louisiana.
She walked up on me in a tent and asked if we needed help. Brought gloves, food, clothing, all kind of stuff. Checked on us every day.
Otten says after spending past winters hidden away behind stores or under bridges, this year's been different. He now stays in a shelter, and he and Yeager are searching for apartments after he just got off the wait list for a federal housing voucher.
I'm getting older. I've survived many a winters out in it, just in a tent, and yeah, I'm getting a little too old for that. So, yeah, anything can be out of that weather.
Rindy Fogler, Assistant Director of Bangor Public Health and Community Services, says the city has explored another option for certain residents, too. If someone can show that they have a friend or family member who will support and house them in another town or state, and city staff can verify they'll have a solid housing plan, they will pay for a bus ticket to send them there.
If there is no housing, there is no room in the shelter, and they have something waiting for them at the other end of a bus ride, doesn't it make sense to, is that not the humane thing to do? And that's where we ended up with that.
Fogler says the changes have made a difference. City outreach workers have helped to house about a dozen people so far, she says, and another 13 have received bus tickets. But even with those changes, shelters are still near capacity. Even a warming center, which opened last year thanks to outside fundraising, is nearly maxed out too, says Boyd Cronholm, the executive director of the Bangor Area Homeless Shelter.
We've already blown the top off the numbers from last year. Last night, I think we had standing room only. We can hold 40. So we're getting a lot more use, and our shelter beds are also full.
And an old brick building called the Brick Church has also helped to fill the gaps this winter. The non-denominational Biker Church USA officially purchased the building in September. And Assistant Administrator Tracy Marley says it's opened an overnight warming center. The city says that's had a big impact, particularly for residents who may have been banned from other shelters due to behavioral problems.
Just be there all the time, which is one of the beautiful things about being open, at least at some hour for 7 days. So people have somewhere to go if they need just somebody to talk to. Makes a big difference thinking that somebody cares about you when you're on the streets.
While city staff say they're grateful for the groups that have stepped up, they acknowledge there's a lot more that needs to be done, including building more affordable housing. But some in the city are also hoping for statewide action to get other municipalities to provide more support and assistance to residents experiencing homelessness. They say that could lessen the load on service centers like Bangor. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Robbie Feinberg.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Have a wonderful holiday. I'm Nora Flaherty.